What's good? What's good? I'm back. One and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. So we got a special guest that we're about to bring on. And he actually fights out of my home state of North Carolina, the great state of North Carolina. He will be fighting in BKFC 83, October 25th. Against Dan Chapman in Rome, Italy. Bring on James. James, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you taking time out.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Okay, I think there's a little delay, but we'll make it work. I should have had you on here sooner, though, because you're from my home state of North Carolina. I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
So let's start here.
All right, you know, I'm always open for interviews and stuff.
Okay.
Anytime.
So you started in MMA, and can you tell us about that experience?
Well, I started MMA, only fighting out of a Taekwondo dojo, a gym, whatever you want to call it. I went 5-0 as an amateur, but then I went pro, and I went 1-4 before I linked up with Derek Brunson. I hadn't trained any jiu-jitsu yet, so I was just kind of getting submitted every fight. But I linked up with Derek, and, I've been on a 7-fight win streak ever since. So, you know, grinding and pushing and trying to reach that next level.
That's what's up. So your name, James Brown, did your parents name you after the great James Brown?
No, sir. Actually, okay. I'm James Brown the fifth.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So my great 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 James Brown Senior actually had the name James Brown like three months before James Brown the singer, but yeah, so I'm named after him.
Okay, and the nickname Get Down, where did that come from?
Actually, I named myself the Pound, and then I fought at I forget the name of the promotion, but I fought at this promotion with Byron Wickline. And every time he saw me, he just called me Get Down, Get Down. And eventually he was like, you know what? That's your name now, bro. I'm just calling you Get Down every time I see you. And so I stuck with that name.
So I was noticing that most of your wins were by KO or TKO in MMA. Do you think that makes bare knuckle really fitting for you?
Yeah, I like to finish. I like to get things started fast, and I like to finish. I wouldn't say, I like to submit people also, but okay. I do like knocking people out on the feet. So yeah, it makes things a lot easier because everybody does want to take me down. So I don't have to worry about that at BKFC. So I just, you know, don't have to sprawl and brawl. I can just brawl.
Now, why did you decide to make the move from MMA into bare knuckle?
Well, actually, Andy Hall hit me up with an opportunity for BKFC. It was just supposed to be for fun, just hop out there. Because actually, I was supposed to make my glory debut the same day, but they were in Myrtle Beach. BKFC was in Myrtle Beach, so it was much closer. And I was like, yeah, let's just take that one because the pay was the same. So it was supposed to just be for fun. And I took that fight with Steve-O. I won that one. And then I was gonna debut for glory again or do MMA or whatever, but then Andy hit me up again with a chance to fight Mike Alvarado, and I could not, you know, turn that one down. I was like, yeah, let's do that one. And so after I did that one, my coach was like, hey man, you know, you might actually be able to do this. And I was like, all right, well then let's do it. And so ever since I've been a bare knuckle fight.
So I mean, the transition doesn't seem like it was hard, but what was the biggest glaring differences to you?
I would have to say finding my range, because without the gloves, your range is just completely different. And also defense. You gotta, there's no glove to help you with those inches anymore. So you gotta really step your defense up also. But other than that, I would have to say that's about the only thing that really was different for me.
Now, do you approach bare knuckle fights more as a brawl or as a technician?
Definitely a technician, because coach does not want me getting hit and trading out there in brawls. So if he's not almost all the way out, then I shouldn't be looking to brawl. But it's still fun. You know, fighters, we like to brawl, but you got to stay disciplined and listen to your coaches.
Do you think some fighters make the mistake of just they always try to brawl?
I do feel like guys try to be exciting and they want to brawl more for the crowd, but physically it's just very damaging. Definitely takes years off of your career or whatever. Makes you have less of a chin, so you don't want to really go out there and brawl all the time. Now, if you're fighting for a title, you got a really big fight and you just got to do that, then definitely do that. But not all of them. Definitely don't do all of them.
And I hate to bring up the losses, man. You got only one loss, Howard Davis. I mean, who ain't no scrub. What did you take from that loss?
Well, I took a lot from that loss, actually. And I don't mind that you bring up the losses because, you know, win or lose, we get out there and I like fighting. So
yeah.
That loss taught me things that I already knew, that I've already been taught. But obviously, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. when punches are being thrown at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see an opportunity to punch, you should not always take that opportunity. I learned you should make one movement first and then try to attack. So after Davis dropped me the second time, I was there completely. I had my legs back, and as he was flurrying me, I was watching him throw the punches because I wasn't flinching or anything like that. So I was watching the punches come at me, and he wasn't looking at me. He was just turning real heavy and throwing his punches. And so I thought that was a good opportunity to throw back. You can get some punches in right there. But we all know if he's already punching, you should not try to punch with him because, you know, he's already ahead. I should have clinched or maybe moved my feet first before I decided to punch back with him. And I did it. So I went down again and the ref waved me off. So I learned to be not patient, but patient with my decision making. Make one move before you counter, no matter if you're slipping, make a move, then counter. But I also learned that, you know, even though I'm starved sometimes of fights, you know, it was like 7-8 months in between.
Yeah.
You still got to go out there and be patient. Don't be so fearless to the point where you're making silly mistakes. Just settle into your fights and be patient. Land before you start letting go.
Well, you said something about the clinch, and I always wonder, is the clinch more important in this sport than any other sports?
I would have to say yes, because in boxing, you clinch, they break you, separate. Yeah. Kickboxing, same thing, but in bare knuckle, when you clinch, if you've got one arm working, they're going to let you work. So you can't just expect a break. Even if you have two arms on, but he only has one and he's punching, they're still going to let you go. So boxers and kickboxers, they used to break and they think they can clinch up and it's just going to be break. Nope. We're still going to be welling on you. So I think it's really important for bare knuckle because that also allows wrestlers to come in and, you know, they're really good in the clinch. They don't have to just stand on the outside and trade with you. They can clinch up and still it's their world there. So the clinch is very important for BKFC, bare knuckle in general.
And like you said, when a guy's trying to clinch because he's getting pounded on, he thinks the ref is probably going to stop that. But like you said, if it's active, nah, man, they're going to keep it going.
Hey, you got to hang in there. Oh, yeah.
So
it's dangerous in there because, you know, with the.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
With the gloves, you know, with gloves, those short punches, sometimes they don't hurt that bad. But when there's no gloves involved, all of those punches hurt. Even the glancing punches, it hurts, man.
So you set the fight in Rome, BKFC 83. Have you fought overseas before?
I have not. I've never left the U.S. before.
So this is probably a really big fight for you, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, my biggest.
Well, let's talk about your opponent. What do you think about your opponent, Dan Chapman?
Man, Dan Chapman. This guy is super fast.
Okay.
He's got short arms, so he's like super big arm, super strong. He's very, very slick with his footwork, good head movement. And I'm going to say this one more time. He's super, super fast. yeah, man. He's probably like the fastest person I've ever seen. Even on video, this guy's like super fast. So that's going to be like a huge, huge puzzle for me to figure out. Now, he's dangerous, but at the same time, I don't feel like he's as dangerous as like a HD. So, you know, okay. He's just dangerous in his own league.
Well, because I was going to ask you, is he overhyped any, in your opinion?
I want to be respectful. I don't want to really say he's overhyped, but the way he fights is like the way I would fight like a heavyweight. I wouldn't fight someone 145 pounds the way he fights. Even though I'm capable of moving in the same manner that he does, I just mm-hmm. – we look at that as running, you know. Yeah. There's a fine line between sticking and moving and running. And so yeah. I feel like sometimes he is running.
And but I no, think dis- I've no heard disrespect. That. No, that. I've heard that. I've heard that from the fan perspective. I heard that he, you know, that's why he comes out there still looking pretty, because he's running the whole time.
You know? Hey, but you ain't got to fear the guys who are out there with a pretty face. Those guys are the ones who aren't getting hit. It's the guys that, you know, have those rugged cuts and stuff everywhere. Those are guys that are getting hit all the time. You know, those guys who are looking pretty, you know, those guys that are hard to hit. Those are the true tests, the real puzzles, because whether he's running or not, he's still out here winning fights and he's undefeated. So.
But like from the fan perspective, it's really not a good fight, in my opinion. And it's definitely going to prevent y'all from getting like fight of the night if a guy's just constantly running.
Yeah, this is true, but we can't just blame him, because yeah, he's running, but you guys are locked in a ring. You should be able to cut him off and make him work, and that's going to be my goal. Is I'm going to make him fight me. He's not going to be able to go anywhere. His tendencies and the way he moves is exactly what I do when I'm fighting guys who are trying to wrestle me. So I feel like eventually he's going to be predictable, and I'm going to make him have to trade with me.
So what do you expect out of this one? You expect it go early, you know, in early, or go the whole distance?
Well, it's up to him. If he wants to engage early and blitz me, I see it being super early. I'll use his blitz and make him run into my shots, but if not, then I'll see like the first two rounds being like super boring, and then I start putting the pressure up on him after he starts slowing down, and it turns into a really, really good fight, because we're both counter strikers, and that just, it makes for a beautiful display of striking when we start putting our stuff together.
Now, is there any more pressure or nervousness when you like going to Rome, Italy to fight?
The only pressure I have is to act right, because I'll be representing the U.S. outside of the U.S. So just making sure I don't do anything silly. But no, I'm perfectly fine, you know, representing my country in another place and representing the BKFC, all my U.S. colleagues. I'm going over there and I'm a hold that on my back and show them what the U.S. is about. No pressure.
And, you know, I always say bare knuckle fighters are like the closest to like modern day gladiators. I mean, I think it's fitting that y'all are going to be in Rome, you know, where the original gladiators used to be.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's actually, honestly, what I'm most excited about is being able to compete there in Rome, Italy, where gladiators actually like, you know, fought and yeah, man, and people look at us like modern-day gladiators, so it's just like going back to where it all started, where all the history was made, and being able to fight where you know, all that history was just made on those grounds. It's going to be so awesome, and spiritually, as a martial artist, that's going to be on another world, man. That's just out of this planet.
So I saw a statement on when I was, you know, I like to get on ChatGPT and try to get as much info as people. And there was a statement said this bout is viewed, at least in his mind, I guess you and the promotions, as a potential statement or career elevating opportunity. Do you feel that way?
I do. I feel like for both of us, honestly, this should be like a, I look at it as a title eliminator. I'm the longest. I've been in the ranking the longest out of everybody who is currently ranked in at featherweight.
Okay. Damn, and, I didn't know that.
Although I'm ranked number five, these guys kind of jumped me a little bit. I feel like I should be next. I am deserving of my title shot. I haven't, haven't competed in the featherweight as often as I would like because a lot of these guys honestly don't want to fight me. I'm like high risk, low reward right now because of my fan base. And so I have to take all these short notice fights that nobody wants to take. And I've been fighting a lot at lightweight 55. And I've still been doing decent. I did lose to HD at 55, but I'm still undefeated in the featherweight division. I'm 2-0, and I feel like that shot should be mine next, no matter what.
How many of your fights were on short notice?
All of my fights were short notice except for Howard Davis. That was the only fight that was a short notice. Yep, and this Chapman fight. Every other fight was short notice.
And how short a notice? Like 2 weeks, 3 week notice?
Well, I had an opponent for the Steve-O fight like 4 weeks out, and then they changed to Steve-O 2 weeks out. Damn, Alvarado was like 3 weeks. Bovar was about, Bovar was, I think, about four weeks, 4.5 weeks. Romero was like 3 weeks. So I'm not getting a lot of time with these fights, man.
Yeah. That's good that you're still winning them because I heard somebody like talking about like when these guys get these little fights when they got 2 day notice, it's like they don't never win their fights.
Yeah, it's tough. And I did fight a few of those fights in, you know, these guys' backyards. So
yeah,
that's a lot of pressure. And
that too, yeah.
Honestly, again, these are fights that I'm sure other people were offered and I never declined. So I do feel like I've been loyal. Excuse me. And I feel like that title shot is mine, man.
I mean, I'm looking at the rankings.
I can't run forever.
How do you feel about the featherweight division altogether? I mean, I don't think there's a bunch of scrubs in this division. It's pretty stacked at the top, I think.
We do have a really, really stacked division. And it just keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. Kai just keeps claiming that he ran through the division. He did not run through the division. Again, I've been ranked for almost 2 years now, and he ignores me and barely mentions my name. Excuse me. We had Brandon Allen up there who was removed after he fought Nico Gaffey.
Yeah.
Who was like the size of my 12-year-old.
Jumped you too. He jumped you too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Plazola just fought Gary Fox Saturday. He jumped me. That fight was, it was okay. I wasn't impressed.
It was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, yeah. Plazola actually started looking how I felt he should be viewed as. Felt like he's been cherry picking a little bit, and Gary's a tough, tough guy, and he stood in front of him and made Plazola kind of look human a little bit. We got Gaffey, who's like, I'm just like a foot taller than that guy. That's not a great matchup for him. Who was that? Nathan Rivera we got up there. Also another guy I feel like's been cherry picking. I'd love to fight that guy. Oh yeah. Brian Duran. I've actually spoken to him in person. Not very interested in that matchup, even though if that name is sent, you already know I'm signing that contract immediately. Yeah. But I feel like it's light up there in the featherweight division, man. To me, looking at, you know, the matchups, I feel like it's light. Now, we do have great guys, great martial artists, but stylistically matching up with me, these guys don't want it.
And Duran, in my opinion, he lost that last fight.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but you know, You know how Florida is.
I'll say it for you. I'll say it for you. The company, they handed him one. They saved face.
I agree. You know? He's a cash cow, man. If he's bringing it in, you know.
He sells tickets. And a lot of them at that, from what I heard.
Oh, yeah. But so that's why also he's not really interested in a match with me, because I'm not a money fight. That's what these guys keep saying. Even the champ. They're looking for money fights and calling people broke and stuff. But if you're out here looking for money fights, I mean, you know, why can't we look for money fights also?
And at some point, man, I mean, you're going to run out of money fights. And if you want to be the best, you still got to beat the best.
You should be fighting everyone who's in line. As a champion, you should be a champion and fight who's next and who's next and who's next, and stop being this clout chasing guy who's looking for popularity. Your skill will bring that. But he, you know, he's doing all this clout chasing. It makes our division look really bad, man. I don't like it.
So let me ask you this. Who's been like the biggest supporter or motivator in your journey, both inside and outside of combat sports?
If I don't say this, I'm gonna get in trouble. My wife, and Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson has helped me with everything, you know, to martial arts, outside of martial arts, life, coaching me, spirituality, everything. He's been there for everything, you know, from beginning to end. Ever since he fired my manager in the back, clussed him out, fired my manager, and said, "James, you're with me now." He just took care of me, man, for sure.
And how'd y'all end up like crossing paths and working together?
Excuse me. So although I was training at a karate dojo when I first started, I would always go to Port City Sports Performance, where John Salter, Derek, and all the other MMA fighters from the area, you know, Jamie Pickett, Doug Coltrane, all of those guys, we just meet there on Saturdays and get some sparring in. And I guess I would do like really well one time. And he asked me, "James, when's your next fight?" I was 2-0 at the time. I was like, "I don't have one." And he got me a fight at Fight Lab.
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with Fight Lab. And so I went over there, I fought, finished him first round, and he still wasn't my manager or anything at this point. We still were just sparring. And so, I went back to my norm and continued competing. And so I'm not going to mention his name, but my manager who I had was just like setting me up with anybody, because he knew how tough I was. He knew I wouldn't say no to fights. And so I was getting matched up with like Damon Blackshear, who is currently in the UFC. James Rumley, who actually just had his BKFC debut a few months ago at like 185.
And that was a good fight.
He did great. That was awesome to see. But he was not as big as he was, but he was still a pretty big guy. 6'4", cut from like 190. I was walking around at like 153.
Damn.
Fought that fight. And that's the fight when Derek was like, "Okay, why are you not getting James fights at featherweight? He's not a lightweight." And so that's when he fired my manager, and that's when I linked with him. I was, I want to say 2-5 at that point, and 2-4, and I'm 10-5 now. I've only lost one fight under Derek Brunson's coaching.
So Doug Coltrane, he trains where you train too?
No, but he does come down like sometimes to get good work with us and stuff. Because he lives not too far from here, like an hour and some change.
So
Doug is actually one of the guys that I like grew up looking up to. Like he's sort of like a pioneer of MMA in North Carolina here, along with Jamie Pickett, Doug Coltrane, DeJuan Owens, and all these other guys. So
is that Jamie Pickett?
Guy. Oh yeah, he's another North Carolina native who was in the UFC. I've been training with him since I was like 16 years old.
Damn.
John Salter's also a Bellator veteran. I've been lucky over here in North Carolina, man.
So we still waiting for North Carolina to legalize bare knuckle, from what I heard. How big you think it's going to be when it hits the Carolinas? or North Carolina.
Bro, it's going to be massive. There's so many fans here. Not only that, but Derek just signed with the BKFC. If you could have me, Derek, Coltrane, Keith Richardson, Tony Loco Soto, all of us on a North Carolina card, that would be massive. Yeah. That would be crazy. Yeah.
And I think if female-wise, you got, what, Taylor Starling. Ain't she South Carolina, too?
Taylor Starling. Oh, man. Yes. I don't even know how I forgot that. Starling. Yeah. Man, there's so many.
Yeah,
you could fill up a stadium here for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man,
hopefully they get that figured out soon, man. I know North Carolina, we kind of funny with passing certain laws.
Yeah, but fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed. Yeah. We can do it.
All right, so I ain't going to take up too much of your time. Before you go, like, any shout-outs you want to do?
Yeah, I want to shout-out Derek Brunson, Brunson's MMA, all my training partners, Michael Scott, boxing coach, Dre Hurd, AJ, one of my training partners and students who just made it to the UFC. Shout-out to that guy. Just – all my friends and family, anybody who supports me, anybody who follows me on social media, shout out to you guys because I wouldn't be able to do it without you guys, honestly. And shout out to Paul. Thanks for having me on, man.
Appreciate it. Shout out to you, man. You know, I need to definitely stay in touch with you more, man. You're a fellow North Carolinian, so. And definitely going to be rooting for you. I know it's going to get me in trouble at one of these interviews eventually, but I got to be biased on this because you North Carolina. And you're going to be going out to Rome, Italy to represent, man. And I can't wait, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate it. We're about to go out there, and we're about to show out. Win, lose, or draw, I'm about to put on a gladiator show.
Can't wait, man. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Anytime you want to come back on, please do, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy, James.
Peace.
All right, you too. Peace. Well, James Get Down Brown, and no, he wasn't named after the singer James Brown. Definitely can't wait to see the Italy card with him on it, going out there representing my great state of North Carolina. And, you know, I didn't realize that he was the longest running guy on the featherweight rankings, and I get what he says. Some cats have jumped him, and he's been on there for 2 years with only one loss, which really isn't a featherweight loss. It's really a lightweight loss, if I'm not mistaken, to Howard Davis, which Howard Davis ain't no scrub. He's like 9-2-1. And so that's going to be interesting. Let me pull up this fight card. Of course, you know, Kamozi versus Sakara is the main event. Nico Gaffey is actually out there as well. I mean, he's only 2-0, and they already got him at 2. So, I can see him feeling some kind of way about that. I don't know if this Ben Bonner and Franco Tenaglia is still going to happen. Apparently, Franco fought some MMA match. I want to say, or has an MMA match a couple weeks or a few weeks before this event. You got Jimmy Sweeney, Carlos Trinidad. I think Trinidad just fought in Italy, last Italy. Francesco Ricci, my guy, fighting Joseph Hala. And Francesco, he's actually Italian background anyway, so I know this is a big one for him. Hayes Heppy, who I think he fought last Italy card versus, I'm not even going to say his name. You got Walter Pugliese versus Carl Thomas. Ernesto Papa versus Fred Sinking. Andre Beakey versus Thomas Malise. Or Andrea Beakey. He's the one who fought Chris Kamozi for the title at the last Italy card. Where they got my... Dan Chapman versus James Brown, and then Enzo Tobia versus, I'm not even going to say the name, I'm going to butcher it, and I'm not even going to say these last two, I'm going to butcher them. Well, these Europeans in their name. But yeah, this card right here, Dan Chapman versus Brown. It's going to be interesting. Dan Chapman's 5'7", James Brown 6'2". Chapman's undefeated. Brown's only got one loss. So that's definitely going to be an interesting fight. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Shouts out to James. Get down, Brown. Take your time out of his busy schedule. I know he's got to train and get ready for the fight. And I think he's got to say he's going to be training some kids later as well. So that's why we had to do it at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Shouts out to my man, Ron from Savage Combat Sports Media. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday to Ron from Savage Combat Sports Media. If y'all go to all those bare knuckle events in Florida, y'all definitely know who Ron is from Savage Combat Sports Media. Happy birthday to him. I don't know how old he is, but shouts out. And don't forget the audio version will go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. And also will download and upload the video version to Rumble and millions.co. Also, if you're a dog lover, you like pit bulls, Dobermans, Rottweilers, or any kind of dogs, go check out the new litter apparel. We got a lot of different t-shirts with different dog designs for all you dog lovers out there. If you're a dog lover like me, and we also got some t-shirts for all you cat lovers out there, mainly the women. And about to wrap it up. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.